Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ.
Amen.
Well, last Monday, WBRC Channel 6 News out of Birmingham, Alabama, reported on an event in the nearby town of Homewood. The story was about a woman named Melissa Turnage and her son Adam. Melissa described Adam as fun, full of life, energetic, loving, handsome, creative. And she talked about how she hears from him every day. "Go for it. You're going to do great," he told her before she went to that event that was on the news. But the thing is, she hasn't actually heard Adam's voice in 22 years. The 27-year-old investment banker was working in the North Tower of the World Trade Center on 9/11. And this past Monday, on the 22nd anniversary of that event, Homewood, Alabama held a remembrance. And Melissa Turnage was there to tell the story of her son and her own story of forgiveness. She recalled that shortly after the attacks, a reporter from the Washington Post interviewed her. And the reporter asked her, "Do you think you'll ever be able to forgive the terrorists?" And she said, "I already did." Surprised, the reporter asked, "How?" And she said, "In my adult life, I've worked with lots of children. And adults, all ages really. And I believe that these men were wounded children. They grew up being taught certain things as children, and they believed what they were taught. They just acted out of what they believed. It's not the child's fault that someone teaches them to hate." Then she said to the reporter in Homewood, "If I had not been able to forgive the terrorists, I would still be in a horrible state of grief." Now, when we hear stories of forgiveness like this, I think we respond in a few different ways. First, we pay attention to it because it's weird. It's heartwarming, but it's weird. I mean, hearing somebody say that they forgive the terrorists is not something you hear about every day. The second way we respond is to think, "Well, good for her, but I can't do that." We see Melissa sort of like some superhero, and her superpower is the power of forgiveness. Right? She can forgive, and Superman can fly, but us regular people can't do either. The third way we hear it is kind of like a club that beats us over the head. It's like, "Hey, if she can forgive the terrorists on 9/11 who killed her son, then you can forgive all those people who do all that little stuff to you." Or it's like, "Since God has forgiven you all of your sins, then you should forgive those who sin against you." But sometimes it's not that easy, is it? And yes, God forgives because God is God. It's God's nature to forgive. Our nature is sinful. So hearing that we're supposed to forgive is not as easy as it sounds. And quite often, that's how we hear today's gospel. In this parable, we get this the story of a guy who owed his master 10,000 talents. Now, a talent was equal to 6,000 denarii. And a denarius was worth a day's wage. So, to do the math, 10,000 talents was roughly equal to 200,000 years' worth of wages. Yes, it's an exaggeration, but that's the point. It is a ridiculous amount to owe. And it's a ridiculous amount to forgive. Well, then, after the master forgave the slave then goes out and finds his friend who owes him 100 denarii, or 100 days' wages. It's not as much as 10,000 talents, but it's not nothing either. The slave refuses to forgive his friend, and we know that's not right. So we hear this kind of like a little morality tale. Since God has forgiven you the great big debt, then you should forgive others for all their little debts. But that turns this parable into good advice, not good news. So what's really going on here? Well, let's think about what prompted Jesus to tell the parable in the first place. If we look at the text right before this one, we'll see the one we heard last week, where Jesus talked about conflict in the church. And because of that, Peter then asked him, Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as 7 times? I can imagine Peter then saying, that's a lot, right? I'll give him a second chance, third chance, fourth chance, fifth chance, sixth chance, seventh chance, but then if they don't stop hurting me, I have to admit they're not going to change and just be done with them, right? But Jesus said to Peter, not 7 times, but I tell you 77 times. Or 7 times 70 times, depending on the translation. But this doesn't mean just raise the limit. It doesn't mean move it from 7 chances to 77 chances. It means keep on forgiving. It's almost like Jesus said, okay, Peter, you want some kind of number for how many times to forgive them? How about a bazillion? Forgive them a bazillion times. It sounds like a number, but it's really not. That's what Jesus is getting at here. Forgiveness is not about a number. It's about a way of living, which the slave in the parable clearly didn't understand. And that's where things turn around here. Right, when it comes to forgiveness, if you're just focused on how many second chances the person has left until you cut them off, then it's not really forgiveness. That mindset is kind of like keeping track of how many lives are left on a video game before it's game over. But forgiveness means you have unlimited lives in the game. It means you keep getting to try again. Or to say it another way, forgiveness means that you know what the person did, but you don't hold it against them. You don't forget what happened, but you also don't let that thing define your relationship. They don't have to be your best friend, but you also don't tell them that it's game over. Think of it like this. When somebody hurts us, we usually respond in one of 4 ways. First, we can ignore the hurt and pretend like it never happened. Right? When somebody tells you to forgive and forget, this is usually what they mean. They want you to forgive so they can forget. But none of us can really do that. Right? We remember the pain. We remember the hurt. Like on 9/11, lots of people say, never forget. Sometimes when we get hurt, we don't want to forget. So don't use that option. The second option could be to live with anger and resentment, which some people choose. But that anger and resentment just eats you up from the inside. It hurts you more than it hurts them. Anybody who's carried a grudge knows how heavy it is. As the old line says, resentment is like taking a poison and waiting for the other person to die. So that option doesn't help. A third choice is to lash out in retaliation. You want to hurt them as badly as they hurt you. But as a biographer writing about Gandhi once said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth leaves the whole world blind and toothless. Retaliation just adds more hurt to an already hurtful situation. So I don't recommend that one either. The fourth option is forgiveness. Now, forgiveness does not mean that you ignore what happened. It doesn't mean that you're saying that what they did was okay. No, forgiveness means that you choose to show them love instead of anger. You choose release for yourself. You choose to accept that you can't change the past, but you can change the future. And sometimes we have trouble with that. But sometimes we don't. And that's where the good news shows up here. Because one of the most amazing things about forgiveness is that it happens at all. Right? Yes, God forgives us. We know that. But sometimes people actually forgive each other too. Unlike the slave in this parable, sometimes they choose not to hold the past against somebody else. And when that happens, there is no other explanation than God being at work. Right? On our own, with our own sinful human natures, we would rather hold on to grudges and anger like that slave. But sometimes in life, it doesn't play out that way. Right? You've probably heard the old line, hurt people hurt people. Well, healed people heal people. Forgiven people forgive people. Loved people love people. And I say that not as things that they're required to do. Like, because you've been forgiven, you should forgive other people. No. I say it as simply the way they behave. It's descriptive, not prescriptive. People who know the power of God's forgiveness in their lives just can't help but forgive others. It's just the way they live. It's who they are. Because Jesus has forgiven us, we can't help but forgive others. And so it turns out there's actually a fourth way that we can hear stories like Melissa Turnage's story. We can hear it as a story of God at work in the world. It's a reminder to us that God does change people. And it means that the story of your life doesn't have to be a story of anger and grudges and resentment either. Instead, your story can be about how God is at work in you and through you for others. And yes, forgiveness can be hard. It might take time. But when it happens, clearly that's God at work. Or as we heard last week, where two or three are gathered in the name of Jesus, meaning in that spirit of forgiveness, then clearly Jesus is present. That's good news. And it really happens in Homewood, Alabama, and Dayton, Ohio, and everywhere. God is clearly at work in this world. So in the name of the one who is God's forgiveness in the flesh, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.